Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25 to get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we've got Rockies versus Padres here for the next couple of days. Also in the past, it feels like always, feels like the Rockies are always playing the Padres. But you know what? The good news for Rockies fans, at least this year, the bad news certainly for Padres fans, is that it's been a very close series between these two teams. We'll dive into it. We'll get into a little bit of the history of some guys that have played for both teams, talk about the fact that this club with very high aspirations just got no hit by a rookie in his very first game of Major League Baseball. So we'll be able to dive into all of that for this Rockies Padres series. But first of all, Patrick, you know, Rockies back home, chance to play spoiler, chance to have some fun. It's always fun when you get to messing with the Brewers a couple of years ago was fun, but now we're getting into really meaningful games for this team that's trying to get it going here. And we'll obviously talk about this too with a twist. Fernando Tatis Jr., outfielder.
The Padres are pests. They've been pests for probably throughout the Rockies organization. I mean, D-backs at time have been that. The Giants, big market team. That's who they are. Dodgers, big market team. But it's really been the D-backs. You just kind of – you don't necessarily love to hate them, but they'll poke their head in there, and they get to be a little bit bothersome. But I feel like the Padres have just always been these kind of pests. And now, yeah, the Rockies have definitely returned the favor. They got the first road series win in San Diego right before the All-Star break, and – They've been spoiler, as you have kind of alluded to. And so it's nice that it's going down this way. And again, it's on the Rockies turf. It's at Coors Field. So that's always a benefit. And the Padres are hurting right now a little bit in the rotation department. So they're not going to have their best arms as Yu Darvish went on the IL on Sunday. So it's strange to think that this starting rotation, which was supposed to be so good and was put together and all these things, they're really trying to piece it together, and they're trying to piece together an outfield now too. As you said, Fernando Tatis Jr. immediately comes off the IL. He's starting in right field on Sunday. He doubled in his first at bat. You expect nothing less. He's back for the excitement.
Of course.
And my initial instinct when they had suggested that was like, well, that seems crazy to happen. Since he's pretty good shortstop. But I also thought, you know, this is what Bryce Harper kind of needed to do in his career. You know, he was playing a little more center field, but he was just too aggressive. He was just too much, and he needed to scale it back. And it took him a few seasons to figure that out. And while Tatis is only in his third season here now, this is really his second full season. He got hurt in 2019. He ultimately needs to cool down a little bit. And what better than to stick him out in right field? It's important, sure. You know?
Yeah, right. That's actually a really interesting take on it. I talked to Troy Tulowitzki about this later in his career, and he had said that that's the one thing that he would, you know, we were really focusing defensively. We were really talking about how he's grown as a fielder. We talked about shifting and how that changed over his career. But he said, you know, if I could go back and tell myself first 1, 2, 3 years in the league, like, you don't have to go 100% on every ball that's hit in your general vicinity. That guy is safe. You don't need to jump and air out your arm and try to get him out. You did a nice job of getting the baseball, not letting it get into left field, but, you know, eat the baseball or whatever. And there were times where he would get hurt diving for balls that would just glance off the end of his glove because he was going so hard after everything. And I actually, on a radio broadcast earlier in the year, I'm not sure I said this on our show, but I think I said this on Altitude, where it was right after he had just gotten hurt earlier in the season, the last time he went on the IL. And I said, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. has a whole lot of Troy Tulowitzki in him in a lot of ways. And that, you know, you hope he comes out on the brighter side of that, that he's had these injuries. You hope doesn't derail his career. So as much as I'm looking at it going, this is so truly bizarre from a competitive standpoint to take a defensive asset like Tatis Jr. and take him away from the most important defensive position on the diamond other than catcher, which makes you not as good defensively. But if it keeps him in the lineup, whatever you're losing there, you know, we're back to that baseball math of ultimately, if you come out with more WAR because he's in the lineup playing a less important position, then you're better off. And so as long as he's not, and I can't, he's such a good athlete. I can't imagine, you know, we're going to get a close-up look at still the beginnings of it here, that he's going to be a disaster out there. But bold, I applaud boldness. I applaud creativity. You know, I think the Rockies have found an interesting and odd success that I'm not sure they were even expecting out of Garrett Hampson, center fielder. You know, there's a middle infield guy who, you know, speed, but still hadn't really played the outfield, not even much in the minors. And they were just like, well, let's see if we can figure it out. He's a good athlete with good baseball instincts. And, you know, being able to move him back and forth has really benefited the Rockies. So I could see this paying off huge for Tatis, but I could also see it being, you know, one of those things where you're maybe messing too much with a good thing. It's risky, but that's part of being bold. Risk is always part of being bold.
And I could see two scenarios playing out here in this, other than he just stays in right field, or maybe associated with that. One is that obviously if he does stay in right field, well, they've got a shortstop position that's opened up. Now, granted, you know, they did sign Ha-Sung Kim to that, I think it was about a 4-year deal in this offseason. Yeah. So, you know, he certainly could plug in there. He's only 25 years old. So there's that. I think they've got Jake Cronenworth doing a little shortstop. That was his position when they had acquired him from Tampa Bay. But if he does stay in right field, now the Padres need a shortstop. And there are a lot of them available this offseason. So Sure. Could they go out and afford another $200 million ball player? I mean, maybe. Why not? We'll see. Is it Trevor Story? That's crazy to think about that again. On Sunday, Tatis goes to right field just before they move to Colorado for a 3-game set, and that sets about this domino effect and maybe Story and Tatis. We got a long way to go till we get there. But the other aspect of it that could be interesting is maybe this is just a way of saying, Fernando, you need to calm down. So we're going to actually take shortstop away from you, force you out into right field, pitch away from left-handed batters, throw inside to right-handed hitters and make sure you get no fly balls out there whatsoever. So you're bored as heck. And then when we do plug you back in at shortstop, cool it down. Like basically, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not literal punishment, but it's a reminder, like, you know what?
Yeah.
Scale it back just a little bit. And it's hard for that aggression. Cause like you said, with Tulowitzki, when you play like that for the entirety of your career and you have a young man's body, when you're in your early teens, maybe even at 20, 21, 22, you can get away with certain things, but then it's crazy to think at 24, 25, you can't get away with certain things, but you can. And Tula learned that, Tatis learned that. And so maybe this is a reminder or a warning shot to say, look, you're not a permanent shortstop. You got to do some things first.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, you know, for his sake, I really hope that it works out for him and that this isn't one of those things where it really does, you know, kind of mess with guys. You never know. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people like to say, well, like something like that shouldn't mess you up. We used to talk about this a lot back in, you know, 17 and 18 when there was conversation about moving Charlie Blackmon out of the leadoff spot and his comfortability with batting leadoff and going in the middle of the season to batting in the middle of the order. And who's going to take over leadoff? Who are you going to add that mental challenge of beginning the baseball game to? And, you know, ball players all respond to things differently. And so you hope this is something that he can respond to very, very well, and that he doesn't take as a kind of like, man, I'm not a right fielder. What is this? I'm not an outfielder. Or if he starts making a couple of defensive mistakes because some balls are hit his way, now he feels like he's costing his team, and now he's trying to make up for it at the plate. You know, I've seen that with Willene Rosario when they tried to make him a first baseman because he had been so bad behind the plate too, but with basically no training at first, they throw him over there. He starts having just a horrible time defensively. And then all of a sudden he can't hit anymore. The one thing that he had been reliably able to do up until that point. So obviously, Willene Rosario, Fernando Tatis Jr., slightly different caliber of ball player.
Different body types, dare I say.
Slightly different level of athleticism.
He's going to cut down some people's trying to stretch a double into a triple. Like that arm is going to be interesting to see him throwing at some guys at third base. That'll be exciting. And tickets for these three games are going to be relatively cheap. I've seen them on sale on Groupon. I think like Tuesday night's game, $17 gets you in the ballpark. $11 on Wednesday, which is not bad. So if you're looking to go to a game and see Tatis Jr. and the rest of the guys, you can do that. As far as who you're going to see starting those games, that's a little bit up in the air. Right now, the Padres have they have an entire rotation on the injured list right now. Yu Darvish just went on with lower back tightness. He just went on Sunday. Mike Clevinger, who we know is, you probably won't be back till next year anyway. Denilson Lamet, Chris Paddock, and then I guess is your number five starter, rookie Adrian Morejon. So that's a rotation that is probably on par with the Rockies, maybe a little bit better, maybe make the case not as much, but that's a very good rotation. And really all you have left is Blake Snell. Ryan Weathers potentially should be starting the game on Monday. When you're listening to this, we'll see it. That's kind of how the rotation shakes out. Blake Snell, of course, is still healthy. He should be throwing on Wednesday afternoon against Austin Gomber. So again, you got the two lefties going toe-to-toe. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday night's game is a little bit up in the air. You know, Herman Marquez is going to be bringing his A game and hoping to be the second pitcher this season to throw a no-hitter against the Padres. And that Tuesday starter is still a little bit up in the air as to who they're going to have going. It won't be Joe Musgrove, though. And he needs more rest. He started on Saturday, but those are not as good of matchups as we've seen in the past, but that's more due to the Padres not holding up to their end of the bargain. Snell Gomber, that's a good one on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be one really good, just fun pitching matchup we know going in, and then some other interesting pitching matchups. We'll see again with the Rockies, have an opportunity here. Now the Padres do still hold on to one of those wild card spots as it stands, but the Reds are just two games back of them. So You know, it's one of those things where a bad week for the Padres, a good week for the Reds, and suddenly this team that had so much hope of maybe even potentially winning the division might be on the outside looking in, and the Rockies could, if they can continue their success against the Padres, be at least some small part of that. So we'll keep our eyes on all that. And Patrick, we will toast our Breck Brews. As you mentioned, the second potential no-hitter coming, Marquez, got to talk about the first one. So we will toast our Breck Brews on this day to Tyler Gilbert. You can get your Breck Brews down at your local King Supers, local liquor store. Get 15 can samplers of the Breck Brew that comes with all kinds of different, you know, you get an IPA in there, get a wheat, get they actually change it around. Sometimes the sour is in there, sometimes it's not. Usually the vanilla porter is in there, the strawberry sky, all kinds of stuff. Or if you're going the seltzer route, you get some peach, you get some apple, you get some cherry, it's berry. There's one other one in there that I always forget. Oh, honeydew. That's the one I always forget.
And so even in the sample, there's samples within the sample because you mix it up. You never know what you're going to get anytime. That's fun.
It's man, gotta love what you're getting.
It's the cat pack. You just don't know what you're going to get.
That's 12 cans, 15. We do 15 here. Get them down at your local King Supers or liquor store. And of course, you get a bigger one down at the DNVR bar when you're a member of the family. You can subscribe today at thednvr.com. Get access to all the written content. You get discounts on hats and shirts and all kinds of other stuff we've got in our merch store. You get to come hang out with us in the Discord channel, chatting baseball 24/7, all the other sports, anything else going on out there in the world. And if you get the annual, we'll hook you up with a free shirt. Also, don't forget that we're still hooking you up if you want to host your fantasy football draft down at the DNVR bar. We're going to hook you up with a couple of free pitchers of beer. One of them from our friends at Breck Brew, one of your choice. And so just hit us up, man. It's fun time down at the DNVR bar. Email gm@thednvrbar.com to get that all set up.
I was curious if the fantasy football league was for the CFL. But then I remembered, of course, they are currently in week two of the CFL league, obviously. So that's how I knew we're talking the NFL draft. Although I'll be excited when the XFL draft fantasy leagues start coming to the DNVR bar. And that's going to open the door up for all WWE-themed fantasy.
I'm taking He Hate Me with the number one overall pick.
Got to pick Rod Smart. You got to pick him. That's it. And then we'll have to have again, it opens the door to a Royal Rumble where you get a number and which guy you get. That's who you got to hope, you know, wins the whole thing.
We got to make that happen. We've got to do a Royal Rumble.
This is the start of it all.
Absolutely. And we got to get DraftKings involved with our Royal Rumble too. So we can get some fun betting going on there.
I want to say I saw some WWE stuff on DraftKings at one point. It might be one of those like free bets, you know, that you can make. I think they've done stuff like that before.
I know one year they did do Royal Rumble because I saw basically like the day of the odds went heavy. It was the year Randy Orton won. They basically gave it away because the odds took it so heavily toward Randy at the end, and he became such a heavy favorite. People were like, is Randy Orton about to win the Royal Rumble? And he did, and I was so disappointed. But always fun to get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, bet on a few things, baseball over-unders on strikeouts, home runs, who's going to score, well, I guess combined runs if the game's going to be high scoring or low scoring, essentially. And, of course, who's going to win or not, though. Good luck with that one. I guess if you take Rockies at home, bet against Rockies on the road, you're doing pretty good so far there. You can download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. Promo code DNVR to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Patrick, as we were talking about just before, we were toasting our Breck Brews to Tyler Gilbert. What a story this is. Guy makes his MLB debut, and not like, you know, some super highly touted prospect on a first place team that called him up for the stretch run, expecting him to do big things for the, this is a guy that was called up to the worst team in baseball because they needed someone to pitch. and he comes up and he no hits a team in postseason position. And just, you know, we know that baseball is a truly magical thing. And I'm very fond of the phrase, you can't predict baseball, but even stuff like this reminds you, you still go, no way, no way that just happened.
Anytime a no hitter or perfect game is thrown, it's historic. There's history behind it, but there's plenty of no hitters, especially if you go back to the ones, the seven from the earlier part of the year before sticky substances were enforced. This is the first one since then. That some of them is more like, hey, it's the most walks allowed in a no-hitter or most walks allowed by a Cardinals pitcher in a no-hitter. And you're like, you know, you're reaching a little bit. It's history. It's fantastic. Celebrate it. But the facts swirling around the no-hitter probably aren't that interesting. Whereas, as you said, in this one, it was probably the least probable. To use a phrase twice, it was the least probable no-hitter I think anyone could have imagined, certainly at the beginning of the season, at any point in the year, because Tyler Gilbert was ultimately a career relief pitcher before, you know, he came to Arizona. They had scouted him. They actually picked him up in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. So we know, for Rockies fans, you know Jordan Sheffield. You may have forgotten about him, but he was a guy that basically was buried in the Dodgers minor league system. They didn't put him on the 40-man roster to protect him, to make sure that nobody else could have him. And they said, yeah, hey, if you want to take him, you just got to put him on the major league roster for the entirety of the season. And there are guys, you know, that have tried that and they just, you know, weren't successful and they get sent back to the team, whatever it may be. Tyler Gilbert wasn't even major league quality in the Rule 5 draft. He was in the minor league phase. And so when you just look at that piece alone, you go, there's no way that that's going to happen. Then for it to happen against the team of San Diego's ability level, there, as you said, D-backs awful, Padres in a spot to go to the postseason. There's a 29 win difference between those two teams. It was the fifth largest such difference that between the team that threw the no-hitter and was no-hit against since 1900. So, like, that's really improbable. Also, do you know who the starting pitcher was in the game on Saturday night for the Padres?
No, I actually didn't.
Joe Musgrove.
Incidentally,
did throw the first. He threw the first no-hitter in Padres history earlier this year, and so now he's been on both ends of a no-hitter. Right, he threw one, and he had one thrown against him. That's only the 12th time that's ever happened, and first time since Jake Arrieta in 2015. And there's a million more. All right. Yeah. How about I'll throw this one in.
Give me a few more. I'm not tired yet.
You're not tired yet. Yeah. Because there's no way to be tired with this, right? Nope. So it was his first career start. And so again, he threw a couple innings in the bullpen. I think he had three appearances before that in the week prior. But it was only the fourth time a pitcher had ever made his first career start and threw a no-hitter since 1953. And the names of all three of these guys who did it, again, the one from 1953, I do know this name. I'm pretty sure he did with the St. Louis Browns. Great name, but that's the last time I would really almost count it because, all right, 50s, we knew what baseball was at that time. All good. Bobo Holloman.
Bobo Holloman.
Great name. In 1892, I mean, come on, they just started throwing overhand at that point. It was underhand not that long prior. Bumpus Jones.
Bumpus.
Also great. And then in 1891, the first man to ever do it. By the way, Bumpus and this next guy, they both did it in October, which is weird that they were playing that long. But Theodore Breitenstein.
Fantastic.
And no, that was not Dr. Seuss's pen name. So that was improbable. And then here's probably the best fact that I like that probably relates back to Rockies fans who go, why should I necessarily care about this other than, hey, good on this kid and doing it against the Padres, giving them a four-game losing streak. Well, Gilbert actually threw, it was the third no-hitter in team history. So it hadn't happened very much, right? Edwin Jackson did it. Randy Johnson did it. But it was the first one that had come at home. First one at Chase Field by a D-backs pitch. Something we know Rockies fans are waiting with bated breath for their guy to do. Yeah. Any guy. It could be any guy. Once you do it, you immediately drinks around the house at the DNVR bar. If you throw the first Rockies pitcher to throw a no-hitter at home, and Tyler Gilbert was able to do that Saturday night for the D-backs.
Yeah, that's really cool, really special stuff. Like a lot of people, you know, I had a hard time not getting emotional watching the video of his family.
Yes.
You know, who was there in attendance, and dad just feeling all of it. And it was just like, that's why we do this thing. And it's a great reminder too of why, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people in the Diamondbacks fan community who, like in the Rockies fan community, have checked out. And I know that we talked to another Gilbert on this show. We talked to Steve Gilbert, and he said, you know, I think a lot of Diamondbacks fans recognize, you know, a little bit of a rebuild, and they like where the farm system is at. But a lot of them, you know, have kind of heard that before, and this wasn't supposed to be a rebuild because they just went and spent all that money on Madison Bumgarner. Like, this wasn't like, you don't sign Madison Bumgarner to that contract at this stage of his career if you're expecting to be the worst team in baseball right now. So they're eating it, right? And Diamondbacks fans, if they were just not watching games this year, you could totally understand. Okay, yeah. Check out until they're good again. Let the promise of we're going to be good in the future actually come true, and then we'll come back. But what a reward for the hardcore people who've lived through the bullshit this year, the 24 consecutive losses on the road, or what? It got higher than that, didn't it? I didn't want to overshoot and exaggerate, but they, how awful it got for them on the road, all the injuries they've had. Just, it's been probably the least fun baseball watching experience in MLB this year to be an Arizona Diamondbacks fan. It just hasn't been fun to watch that team. But if you've watched every game the Diamondbacks have played this year, because you're a fan, because you care, because that's your team, and then that happens, it was all worth it. The whole season was worth it for that moment. But several seasons are worth it. That's why we do it. That's why we show up. That's why we do what we do.
And unlike the Rockies, the Diamondbacks don't have a terribly nice facility. They don't have a terribly nice ballpark. I mean,
ugly ass ballpark.
You're going to Chase Field basically to get out of the heat. You're like, yeah. Like it is a warm one. We need to save some money on our AC bills. There's a haboob coming, blowing through town here. So we just got to get out of the heat and go into the ballpark. Whereas here in Colorado, again, you know, even if the Rockies decide they were going to tank, and you're like, well, I don't really need to pay attention for four more years, you're still going to go to the ballpark because it's Coors Field, because it's beautiful, you know, because they still, you know, put out a, you know, exciting product at the ballpark. It's Coors Field. But yeah, Diamondbacks, they just don't have that, unfortunately. And it's good for them to have gotten this, especially again, in one of those seasons where they're not being pests. It's like, okay, cool, good on you. It's kind of like, you know, Padres fans, the Padres fans are getting a little pesty, but you know, in the last couple years, they've had a rough go of it. And you go, all right, hey, good for you. Your team is kind of doing it. You can find room to be happy for them. You can definitely find the room for D-backs fans after Gilbert's no-hitter. Maybe you can feel a little bit for the Padres, but you're never gonna have that feel good feeling for Giants and Dodgers fans. Like, there's almost no circumstance. You go, you know, good for them. It's like, no, I mean, it's cool that happened for your team, but I'm not happy for you in any way. I'm not angry. I'm angry by it. I don't care.
Right.
But I can't muster up happiness because you've had it really good for a while. Dodgers fans less so, but still. But Padres and D-backs fans, they need moments like this. And so, yeah, it's good that they were able to get that. It definitely gives certain fan bases hope. And, yeah, we're talking to you. If you're listening to this, we're talking to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, Patrick, I'll tell you one thing that always gives me hope, and that's whenever I can expect a new order of Hassel Cattle Company to arrive at my door. I am filled with hope, and actually basically just knowledge at this point, that it's going to be a wonderful couple of weeks on the skillet, on the stovetop, making some fantastic Wagyu beef. You really can't do any better if you're a beef eater like I am than getting it from Hassel Cattle Company. Wagyu beef could change your life. Check it out. None of the gross antibiotics, hormones, any of that garbage that they put in the animal gets into your body, poisons the environment, bad for everybody involved. They don't do any of that stuff. Also, it just tastes better. It's just better for you. It tastes better than any of the crap that you might find at the grocery store. You can get all different kinds, ground beef, ground chuck, hamburgers. They've won awards on those hamburgers. Surprised they haven't won awards on the ground beef. Maybe they have and they just don't promote that so much because whew, it's all delicious. The steaks, whatever you're looking for, get it all filled up in the you know, the cart there at Hassel Cattle Company, Hassell cattlecompany.com. Use promo code DNVR10. You'll save 10% off your entire order. And if you order over $200, you will get free shipping. Oh, and we've also still got that the giveaway going on. $200 gift card and a cooler to one lucky winner. To enter, just head to the DNVR Sports Twitter page, click the link on the pinned tweet. It's free. You can win money, fantastic cooler, and get notified by all their best deals. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the reward really is the beef. I'm not joking with you, folks. 100% positive ratings.
The coolers are very cool looking. Like they've actually spent a lot of time. There's a somewhat of a unique design to it as well that makes it something like, oh, people will notice you. Like people appreciate a good cooler game, and they've right. got a good cooler game. I think even now I saw on the site, buy two, get one free on the Chuck steak, the Ooh. Chuck eye steak. So that, yes. I mean, they're just throwing right it at you. They got to love it.
They're always cycling those promos. So yeah, you got to check back and see if your favorite thing that they have will probably go on sale at some point, and then you hop in, you buy it. Really good stuff. Also really good stuff, just everything going on over at Ball Aerospace, Ball Corporation, you know, Ball Arena, Ball. You've got cans, you've got jars, you've probably got glass, maybe some growlers. You've got stuff from Ball. But did you know that they are one of the best stewards of our environment and of our people? They're taking care, first of all, 75% of all aluminum that's ever been produced on planet Earth is still in use. And the fact that they're going hardcore into the aluminum business and really trying to make that the product of the future, that's a big element to it as well, despite the fact that they already had all of these extraordinary ratings from environmental groups. Then you get into the fact that they treat everyone that works for them incredibly well. They pay incredibly well, and they make a fun environment to work in. They're hiring right now, just down the road from where we're sitting, right over there in Golden. Am I pointing the right direction? It's very important that I point the right direction. You can check out hashtag work at Ball online. You apply for a position at their aluminum can plant. Text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. It's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222. All right, Patrick, let's wrap up by talking about some of our favorite Rockies and Padres. And by that, we mean Rockies and Padres. That is the shared history of these two teams. You know, it's I was actually surprised at the number. I was like, there's a lot of guys
who play for both teams.
Yeah,
it's wild. And even in the first season of the Rockies, there were a couple guys like Greg Harris, Mark Grant. He was on that original 1993 team, Mudcat Grant. He's one of the announcers for the Padres. Like, he had played with the Padres at the beginning of his career and made an appearance with the Rockies in 93. So he's one of the, if not the first guy, you'd have to go back and look at the dates, but one of the first guys to actually play with both teams. And you don't often like think about that, like, oh, which guy played with both teams? That's just like a fun little mental exercise to do sometimes, right? Like whenever Pittsburgh and the Rockies play, you go, all right, this is the Clint Hurdle Cup, right? He managed both teams to much success, you know, took them both to the playoffs. So you go, all right, that's the first person I think of. And I don't necessarily know who the first players I think of that's both, because you could go a couple ways. You go like, hey, this guy played a majority of his career with one team and then dipped his toe in the other team's water.
Yeah.
Or is it someone that was kind of a little balanced on each? You could go multiple ways on this.
Right. Well, and you just reminded me, because we were so prepared to talk about players, but then you gave us the Pittsburgh example with Clint Hurdle, and there it is. The answer to this question is actually the Buddy Black
cup. That's not very, very clearly. Yes. Done. Right. Bud Black is the Bud Black fantasy draft of your favorite or most enjoyable or what have you, rocks and pods, because there's a list. What there is, I think, as far as what I turned up, about 85 different names. And unless there's a couple more from this year, which there could be, that seems like a lot. The 85 different guys have actually ended up.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot to me. Now, there are some that are just, like you said, a couple of randos or whatever. But, and then a decent number is like, you definitely played a lot more for one team. But I was surprised by the total.
So, like, maybe the most random would be a guy by the name of Pete Walker, who played 3 games for the Rockies and 1 game for the Padres.
There you go.
I'm not up on my Pete Walker history. I'm going to say that has long been a gray area for me, and I know I need to work on that. I know I need to work on my
Pete Walker. Probably not the greatest Walker in Rockies history.
No, definitely not. Bruce Hurst. Hey, Bruce Hurst was another name, too, from that inaugural season.
There you go. Bruce Hurst. That was one I remember. There's a lot of fun, random ones. I hadn't read Alexi Amarisa's name in a while. So I was going to.
That's a good one.
I was just trying to think of how many of these guys we could name that played for Bud Black on both the Padres and the Rockies. Amarisa's one. Mm-hmm. Nick Hundley is another one. I'm not sure there's too many others.
Yonder Alonso.
That seems correct. Yes.
I don't know if Tim Melville was, or rather if Bud Black was there, because Tim Melville did appear in 2 games in 2017. No, of course not. Bud Black was in Colorado.
Yeah.
Not too many, but there might be a couple more than we think. Alexi Amarisa is probably the biggest one, I think.
Yeah.
Like Yonder Alonso counts too, but Amarisa was like, all right. We've got the solution now.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig back into the archives. And when I was in San Diego, there was a guy there that made a pretty good impression on me.
Yep.
Definitely hit us up on social media or in our Discord if you can think of guys who played specifically for both those teams. But, Nick Hundley was a name that I think about a lot when I think of Rockies and Padres because, he was with Colorado for 2 years. Obviously came up with the Padres and maybe about 5-6 seasons with them. So he features a little bit more prominently than a Vinny Castilla type who we know him as. We kind of choose to forget his time like in Tampa Bay amongst other places, but he did end up, playing a little bit of time in San Diego as well.
Yeah. And that's one that, like you said, I will have forgotten. Cause even then when you think of Vinny, not in a Rockies uniform, you probably think Atlanta first, and maybe even didn't he play for Houston? I think he was really bad for Houston for a year.
And the Nationals for a minute.
That's right. I remember that. So I have a hard time. I go, oh yeah. So I close my eyes. I can see him in a Rockies uniform very easily. See him in the Atlanta uniform very easily. I don't remember him in the Padres, but you go, oh yeah.
That was his final season, 38 years old.
Yeah.
Signed with them. And then once he was released by the Padres, Rocky said, I want you to finish up the last couple weeks of the season in purple. So they did him right by that. So I like that. So for me, he wouldn't make that list, right? If you're talking about your favorite or most memorable. Because it really was, it was just too one-sided, I think, in a lot of ways.
Right.
It's kind of why the same way like with Steve Finley. Steve Finley, of course, on the 2007 Rockies roster, spent a fairly large portion of his career with San Diego, over 600 games. He's another one of those names. But I don't – even though he didn't play that many less games than Alexi Amarisa, in Colorado, and they played a similar amount in San Diego. I just, maybe because it's just more recent, I just think of Alexi Amarista a lot more than Steve Finley.
Yeah, absolutely. maybe because it was more recent, but yeah, it's just when you're more known and when you're, I think when you're a bit player, you might fit more easily onto multiple teams than when you were sort of more of a, I don't know, was Steve Finley a star player? He was maybe that next level down, but you know, more of a guy you really associate with who's on that team, where Alexi Amarista was always a ball player.
Can't forget about Matt Kemp. He was, of course, there for, I think, for a minute in the Bud Black era as it was winding down in San Diego. And
he would have,
played a couple of games, obviously, in 2020 with the Rockies.
Yeah.
As far as pitchers, there's not as many notable pitchers. I mean, Andy Ashby was a guy that I liked a lot in the 90s.
Yeah, same.
Was pretty good, and his time with Colorado was very short. I think they took him in the expansion draft. They got him from Philadelphia. I'd seen him in Philadelphia, and I was like, oh, a young prospect, and got taken by Colorado, didn't really work out, and then kind of had this second career, or really his first career. That's when he got himself started with San Diego and did pretty well out there.
Yeah. I like you, Andy Ashby was one of those guys that I really liked in the 90s. You reminded me there of Alan Embry, another one of those guys who, you know, just kind of pitched in a few games. The Rockies sort of went through that where they were getting the NL West pitchers right after they had just been in the bring them on over. Like, you got a close-up look on that guy. There was one other one I was trying to see if I could find it on here, but I did remember more in the Vinny Castilla category. I did remember Eric Young Sr. playing for the Padres. That was one I remembered,
I did not remember that.
Because it wasn't for very long, but I think he also might have coached for them for a little while. So that may be why I've got a fresher.
He's been around a block.
Yeah, he's coached for everybody. Right?
That's what happens, yeah.
Again, it's the visual of seeing him in the uniform. So maybe I'm seeing him as a coach. But I also did feel like I remembered him and some of the places that he hopped around and not being great, but still, you know, swiping a couple of bags, doing the Eric Young thing as long as he could.
All right. If you want to talk about being balanced as far as not playing too much with one team versus another, and again, it's also about memorable moments too, where I haven't actually looked it up, but I feel pretty confident that Matt Holliday was more valuable and had a better career with St. Louis than Colorado. But I think a lot of people will probably think of him because of the big moment, game 163, when he very definitively touched home plate, as we all know. But Trent Hubbard, also Trinidad Hubbard, 87 games with the Rockies, 89 with the Padres, but the man with the most games in both places equally, former All-Star, Jason Marquis, 36 games. With Colorado, 36 games with San Diego.
And important games for Colorado. He was good.
Very much so. 2009, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta love Jason Marquis. That's a good one. In the sad department, there's Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a thing for us and ended up actually being a thing for them department.
That did not work out quite as well. No, it did not. Pedro Stacio, again, if you're talking about starting pitchers with both teams, obviously much more with Colorado, only spent a season with San Diego. Glendon Rush is another one. Sean Estes, more so with Colorado than with San Diego. Kip Wells, there's a name to throw out at you.
Remember Kip Wells very briefly. Some of the relief pitchers too. Remember Christian Friedrich? He went to San Diego immediately after leaving Colorado, and he never really found it in either spot. He was one of those guys who was decent prospect for the Rockies and just never panned out.
Sabre superstar Steve Reed. He had a brief stint with San Diego, so he's got to be on our list, of course. Pat Neshek, early on in his career, spent some time with San Diego. He's got to be on there.
Gotta love Pat Neshek. Some of the other kind of rando ones, just names you love going, oh, yeah, I remember Terry Shumpert.
Yeah.
Jalees Chacin, with his interesting, very interesting history of actually having been pretty good for a lot longer than I think people realize. But, yeah, he's, didn't get a ton of games with the Padres. I think that was right when he really started to dovetail as a starter. I think Milwaukee had basically gotten the last good juice out of him. Or am I remembering that backwards? Did he rebound by going to Milwaukee from San Diego? I think I was getting that backwards. I'm pretty sure he rebounded in Milwaukee after a bad stint with the Padres. And then kind of flamed out for a little while before landing back in Colorado and reinventing himself as a late inning reliever, apparently. I don't know. We're going to find out what happens next for Jalees Chacin. It's been one of the more odd careers I've ever sort of been able to watch from beginning to end.
And he could still be around for like 5 more years.
Right.
Like that's.
Or he could retire in the offseason. I have no idea.
Maybe. Right? Maybe. Yeah. One of the other names that is very lopsided that you might not remember, and one of the trends that I think we probably both noticed when looking at the list, is a lot of guys in the just in the 2000s, we'll just leave it at that, kind of finished up their career in San Diego because they were bottom of the barrel kind of franchise, and it was like, hey, there's an opening here in San Diego. I might as well give it a shot.
So, nice place to live.
Yeah. So you look and you go, oh yeah, Brett Hopp. That's right. You did kind of wrap things up there. And oh yeah, Clint Barmas, you did kind of wrap up things there. And oh yeah, Seth Smith, you kind of wrapped up some things there. And you know, a lot of common trends. Jeff Cirillo, even you could put on that list as well.
Yeah. Oh, Houston Street was a big one that we got to make sure to mention. He played in a solid number of games for.
Was very good in both places.
Both, yeah, he was really, yeah. But one of the few players we've talked about today where I think both franchises go, oh yeah, we like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's undervalued in that balance when talking about equal Rockies and equal Padres guys. And you know, if we don't call it the Bud Black series or the Blood Black series, we could also call it the Luther Hackman series, as everyone remembers those 5 games from Luther Hackman in 1999 and those 63 games in 2003 with the San Diego Padres. So Luther Hackman, tip of the cap to you today.
That is a phenomenal name, especially if you've got a superhero alter ego, Luther Hackman. Fantastic. So, all right. Well, let us know if we missed any that you really like. Hey, you guys totally forgot to talk about
Seth Smith.
Yeah. Jim Tatum. Where's the Jim Tatum conversation? Jordan Lyles.
Jorge Torrealba.
Let us know who your favorite Rocky/Padre of all time is. You can hit us up on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR_Rockies. If you're subscribed to the DNVR.com, you go right into the Discord channel as soon as you've listened to this. You hop in there, say, here's my favorite Rocky/Padre of all time, and let us know right there in the Discord channel. Football season getting ready to go. Hop in there, weigh in on Teddy Bridgewater versus Drew Locke. Basketball and hockey season's just around the corner. Hop in on all of that stuff. Subscribe today. Really appreciate it. And you get that free shirt if you get the annual, all the other stuff we talked about before. Thanks for listening into this one. We're going to be watching throughout the rest of this homestand, seeing if the Rockies can continue to be one of the best home teams in baseball through the end of the season. going to be a fascinating watch. We appreciate you all for continuing to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. Until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.